Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's, Jesus replied. It was a fool's errand the students of the Pharisees and descendants of Herod were on that day. Entrap God incarnate, the giver of the law, with his own law. How do you like that? That was the task, though they had no clue what they were actually attempting to do. Still, their scheme was indeed clever. If he said that paying taxes to the emperor was right, then the Pharisees were there to tell everybody that Jesus was a Roman supporter. And supporting Rome would have made him unpopular with his followers, who correctly regarded Rome as an evil enemy. If, on the other hand, Jesus said paying taxes to the emperor was not right, then the Herodians, the puppets of Rome, were right there to run him up the flagpole as an insurrectionist. The Roman authorities would have every right to arrest him for rebellion. The plan seemed foolproof, don't you think? No matter how he answered, Jesus would lose either his followers or his freedom. But Jesus saw right through their evil intent and called them hypocrites for playing dodgeball with the law. In truth, the hypocrites were the ones guilty of the charges they were trying to bring against Jesus. The Pharisees were being rebels for questioning the requirements to pay taxes to Rome. And the Herodians, well, they believed Rome to be more important than God. And Jesus' 19-word sermon of law cut them both. To the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's." Jesus was telling them that God's law, with which they were so concerned, does not establish God's kingdom on earth, nor does it exclude those who follow the law from having to live life in this old world. Said another way, as long as one walks this earth, he or she will play by the rules, whether they like it or not, and taxes are one example. After all, a fundamental function of every civilization is the extraction of money in one way or another from its citizens. So pay your taxes. And to the Herodians, Jesus said, "You give to God the things that are God's." Jesus was telling them that Rome, which they were so enamored, was not God's kingdom on earth and would never provide the ultimate security they wanted and needed. Said another way, government can never be God. And with that, the idolatry of both the Pharisees and the Herodians was exposed. The former trusted their obedience to the law as their salvation, while the latter trusted that their allegiance to the state would save, but neither was righteous or justified before God. Amazed is a really bad translation of their reaction to Jesus' words. That they were highly insulted, mad, and wanting nothing more to do with Jesus is actually what happened. Well, here we are, separated by 2 millennia from those disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians, yet things are still pretty much the same. We are twisted around the axle about the state of our country and the world, and trusting in all manner of stuff to give us hope. Every election cycle is thought to be the most important in the history of our nation. Some say Democrats are the enemy of all things godly and right. Others say, no, that's the Republicans. If we can just get the right people in office and get the wrong ones out, then all will be well. Of course, who's the right one and the wrong one is a mixed bag. And what both groups saying such things fail to realize is that whoever is in charge is there because God has put them there. Did you catch what Isaiah said in the first reading? God made Cyrus, the king of Persia and sworn enemy of the Hebrew people, a Messiah for them. And in that same passage, God says, "I form light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." And that means, as long as we walk this earth, we will play by the rules. as we enjoy the good and suffer the bad. And nothing will save us from this thing called life, not even our preferred political party. Remember, there are two certainties in this life, death and taxes, also known as the law. And there is no escape from its work. God alone is salvation. And that's why Jesus says to render to God the things that are God's. Well, what is it we should render to God? Answer, absolute trust. Okay, except it's impossible to trust the one who forms light and creates darkness, the one who makes peace and creates evil, the one who put Joe Biden and Donald Trump in charge, the one who shakes this earth like a blanket, creating all manner of calamity both within and without us, while at the same time giving us the beauty of a striped bass and the sweetness of a baby's breath gently sleeping. How do we render trust to such a God as that? Well, we can't. And that's why the gospel is not Jesus' 19-word sermon to the Pharisees and the Herodians. The law will make us give to the emperor and everybody else what is due, but it will not and cannot make us trust God. The good news is God gives us absolute trust that he deserves. He's God, and for God to say is for him to do, and he does not lie. Therefore, when God says something to you, it is the absolute truth, and nothing can change it. And so we come to the heart of the matter. At the font, God called you by name, made you his own, and promised nothing can separate you from him. At the altar rail, the body and blood of Jesus Christ is given and shed for the forgiveness of your sin. And by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. Saying, believing that God has not said these things to you is impossible. His promise to you is undeniable, and it is exactly that undeniable promise that creates absolute trust. And so, we render absolute trust to God in the only way possible, by saying, Amen. It is as you say of me, Lord. Amen.